of the power of God when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? No one. Not even this man who seems so hopeless. In fact, when Jesus is conversing with him, he asks him his name, and the guy says, what? The demon says, Legion. Legion was a military term of the Romans, about 6,000 men. So basically, that man was demon-possessed by a multitude of demons. We know at least 2,000 because they went into the pigs in 2,000 and died. It might have been up to 6,000. But the idea, there's this army, an army of demons against God. And guess who wins the battle? God. With just a word from His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, demons, Satan is defeated. And Jesus is illustrating to the disciples the idea of the parables, the truth behind the parables, that my kingdom will expand 30, 60, 100 fold to places, 100 fold to places you can't even begin to imagine. You're going to get resistance, but my gospel is stronger than any resistance you'll get, because I am God. My word is true. My word is divine. That's why Jesus came. To deliver people from the dominion and power of sin in the story. And there's a lot of details, and we're not going to have the time to get into each detail. But the overall, overarching theme, the overarching meaning, is that Jesus wants to prove to His disciples that He is God and His word can be trusted. But the people in the region, they don't like it, do they? Remember, they go back and they see the man sitting there clothed now. They haven't seen him clothed in years. And he's in his right mind. He's not screaming. And they look at it and they're afraid. And they say to Jesus, what do they say to Jesus? What do they say? What does the text say? Get out of here, Jesus. They would rather live with a dangerous, crazy man in their area than to be confronted with their own sin and repent. That's the effects of the gospel. The gospel will reach them. It will change the most hardened person, the most desperate situation. And God can give that person hope and change his heart and mind. But it will also harden others. And then he wants to go with demon. This demon-possessed man who has been freed from the power of sin wants to go with Jesus. And Jesus says, no. What does he tell him to do? He says, go back to your own 10 cities. And I want you to tell them of what God has done in your life today. The mercy that God has shown you in the person of Jesus Christ. And he goes, and all are amazed. The scope of the gospel, using one man, hopeless, to reach a whole community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're here this morning and you think, you know, my situation is hopeless. God could never change me. I've blown it too much. I'm way beyond the scope of the gospel. No, that is not true. God's Word still changes lives today. Remember, it's not about freedom from your circumstances. That's not the point. It's about the power of God's Word, because it comes from God's Son, Jesus Christ. And God can change your life today. So often, I know this is true in my own life, you know, I think if only this would happen, that would change. A situation would change. If only I got better, then everything would be different. If only I had a new job, then everything would be different. If only I got married, everything would be different. And sometimes we even think, in the hardened hearts, our hardened hearts, sometimes we even think, you know, if only, have you ever thought this? If only I got really sick and I died, then my husband would come, or then my child would come back to the Lord. We're looking for some type of event to happen to produce change. And the only change that will be produced that is eternal is from the Word of God. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the parable in Luke chapter 16. We're not going to go there. But the rich man, he had it all good. It was great here on the earth. Lazarus, he was a poor man. The dogs would lick his wounds, and they both end up dead. There's a gulf between them, Hades and paradise. And the rich man there in Hades cries out to Lazarus, now, just a drop of water, just a little bit to relieve my pain. No, there's a great gulf. It cannot be fixed. It cannot be broken. And then he says this. He says, well, send somebody back to my brothers and warn them of my plight. Warn them so that they will change.
And what was the word from Abraham? He says, no, they already have the word and the prophets. And they will not change even if somebody comes back from the dead. They have everything they need to change. That is the word of God and the prophets. Do we believe that? Do we pray the word of God? Do we speak the word of God in each other's lives, believing that God will change hearts and minds? Exhibit number 2, an unclean woman. And this miracle here finds itself sandwiched, and Mark likes to do this. We've already studied this before. Sandwiched in between another story. Something's happening. Mark detours, and he eventually comes back to the primary story. The primary story is this synagogue ruler, Jairus, whose daughter is dying, comes to Jesus. He's the only hope. Jesus is the only hope. And then he introduces this unclean woman. Remember the Jewish prayer? Thank you, Lord, I'm not a what? Gentile woman or slave. She's unclean. And she's doubly unclean because she has this bleeding. And because she was bleeding in the Old Testament law, she was declared unclean too. She couldn't even touch anybody. If she touched somebody, that person would automatically become ceremonially unclean. And she's lost hope, hasn't she? Humanly speaking, there is nothing you can do for her. Humanly speaking, there is nothing that demon-possessed man could do anymore. Humanly speaking, there is nothing the disciples could do in that boat to calm that storm. And she has tried everything, humanly speaking. She's gone to the doctor. She's wasted all of her money. And there is no cure. And she's getting worse, the text said. She's not getting better. But she's heard. She's heard stories about the man Jesus. She's heard stories about his power. Somebody has spoken the word of God to her about Jesus Christ, and she has a little bit of faith left. She's lost all her faith in humanity, all faith in doctors, but perhaps this man is different. And so she reaches out in the crowd from behind. She doesn't have the courage to head him on head first. And another gospel says that she just touched the hem of his garment. She didn't grab it. She just barely touched it. Hoping against hope that Jesus Christ was who he said he was and he could cure her. And what happens? Immediately she's cured. She senses it. She says, I'm a different woman. This blood that has been leaving my body for 12 years, it's gone. Not the blood, but the disease. And Jesus experiences a release of power in it. It's not magic what she's done. But he senses in his soul, in his heart, in this person, that somebody has responded to him in faith. And Jesus never misses a moment. When he sees, no matter how small your faith is, he understands it, he recognizes it. It moves the heart of God. And he's looking around, trying to figure out who it was, because everybody's touching him, right? This is the crowd. A chapter earlier, they're willing to crush him. They're pushing and shoving, you know, those flash mob type of things. And the disciples have that type of attitude. What do you mean, who touched you, Jesus? Everybody's touching you. They couldn't see it, could they? And isn't that the point? We don't often see what the Word of God does in the lives of men, but it does. It is working. And that's the point Mark is making. It is working. And now she understands what happened to her and she comes to Jesus. She doesn't come from him behind just touching his garment. She comes to him face on, bows down, worships, because Jesus has changed her life. Unclean, beyond hope. And remember, the story isn't about Jesus healing all your diseases. That's not the point. The point is, he's trying to mature the faith of the disciples so that they would believe in the gospel and take it to the ends of the world. And the gospel is going to reach all kinds of people. All kinds of people. We don't know. We won't always see. But God's word is true. God's word is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is perfect. It converts the soul, Psalm 19 says. Last scene. We've already been introduced to the scene. It's the son. It's this Jairus with a sick daughter, 12-year-old girl. He loves her. He loves her dearly. And he comes to Jesus and says, please save her. And the Pharisees, remember, the Sadducees, the rulers of the Jews, they were about to get Jesus, but in a moment of desperation, he reaches out to Jesus. And Jesus is on his way to the house. He's detoured by this woman. And then, while he's still talking, the scripture says this, 35, word gets back to Jairus that his daughter is now what? Dead. Says, and the people say, why bother the master now? Why bother the teacher now? She's beyond hope. The chapter for her book has already been closed. You can't rewrite the chapter. When somebody dies, it's over. Don't bother the teacher. Why should he go there now? She's beyond any hope. And so Jesus says to the Jairus, he says, only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Believe in who I am. Believe in my power. Believe in my word. And so he takes three of the disciples. It's an intimate affair. He leaves the rest there. And he goes to Jairus' house. And he sees this wail in the scene. Everybody crying. Back then there were professionals hired to wail and cry. And so these professionals are wailing. The family was crying. It was quite a scene. And when they get there, it only confirms that she really is dead. She's dead. She's gone. And then Jesus says something amazing to the crowd. He says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And once again, the disciples see firsthand the rejection that often will be encountered by those against the gospel. And they laugh. What are you going to do? She's dead. And he takes his disciples, the mom and dad, into that inner room. And he holds that little girl by the hand and says, Talitha cum. And he translates it for the Roman readers. Remember, Mark has written the Romans. And so he translated it because they don't know the Aramaic. And he says, little girl, get up. It's like he would take his hand and say, sweetie, wake up, sweetie. And what happens? She wakes up. She arises from the dead. And then he says, give her something to eat. And he commands them not to tell anybody. Why does he command them? I'm not really sure, but I think one of the reasons is Jesus already attracted a crowd. Can you think of what would happen now? He'd have a crowd of people with dead people. You know? I don't think he wanted that word to get out yet. There's probably other reasons too. But the point is, he's saying to the disciples, I'm God. Only God has the power to raise the dead. He is not promising his church. He is not promising us today that if your loved one dies, he will heal them up immediately, instantaneously. Now we as Christians believe, don't we, that Jesus will raise up the dead on the last day, right? That is our hope. But that's not what he's teaching the disciples there. He's teaching them that I am Jesus. You can trust my word. I'm going to send you out in a few short days to take the gospel. Do you believe in me? Do you trust me? I've given you four incidences where my word has power over the deep, over the demons, over disease, and even over death. Are you going to trust in my word? And I guess that's the question that Mark leaves for us today. Are we going to trust in the sufficiency of God's word? Are we going to invest our lives into the word of God? The word of God reveals the character of God. There is no other way. There is no other means for us to know Jesus Christ without the Word of God. There is no other way to communicate hope to a desperate and dying world if not by the Word of God. We are only farmers, folks. God has asked us to do one thing. Sow the seed. Sow it indiscriminately. Sow it in the bad soil and the good soil, because you don't know the difference. But because it's my Word, got my seal of approval on it. It will grow. Do you trust? Are you investing your life in the Word of God? Or do you invest, like I said last week, in all kinds of peripheral things that will not produce any type of change, will not give you any type of hope long term? Do you pour the Word of God into your children? Do you give them opportunities to hear the Word of God preached? Do you bring them to events and Sunday school and youth group? Because you want them to hear the word of God. Or are you so easily distracted? You'd rather be doing other things on a Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday night. Let us believe in the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, although you aren't physically, Jesus Christ, even though you aren't physically present with us this morning, your power is manifest among us today as we preach your word. Your Holy Spirit enables us to understand and believe. Help us believe, Lord, in the power of your word. Thank you for these stories that are exhibit number 1, 2, 3, and 4 of who you are and what your word can do in the hearts and minds of men and women who seem beyond hope. And some of us, Lord, are here today and we're thinking, I'm too far gone. God would never save me. Yes, he would. He wants to save you. Repent. Repent of your sin. Repent of your self-sufficiency. And believe that Jesus Christ's death and resurrection on the cross is enough. And he will change you from the inside. He will give you eternal life. He will make you his child, his daughter, his son. Believe. There is nothing you can do. You're beyond hope, humanly speaking. You could never be good enough. But Jesus Christ is our righteousness, and believe in him and him alone. You can pray something like this in your own heart. You say, Dear Lord, I don't understand. My faith is sort of like that woman. I'm just going to gently reach out and reach in the direction of God. I want to believe that you can be my Savior. Oh Lord, save me. Just pray that in your own heart. Forgive me of my sins. Save me. If you pray that, I would like to talk to you afterwards. Come talk to me. If you're here this morning and you have already trusted in Jesus Christ, you're the Savior. Where is the priority of the Word in your life? Do you believe that it's sufficient for all the situations of your life? Are you investing in it? Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you speaking it and sharing it and sowing it? Why don't you spend some time with God doing business? And as you continue to pray and call out to God, and although you're not repenting and believing for salvation past tense, you are repenting and believing for salvation present tense, I would ask the men to come forward. Still in an attitude of prayer, everybody, praying, talking to God, repenting and believing, and ask the men to come forward, and we'll partake in the Lord's Supper and remember exactly what Jesus Christ did for us so many years ago today. I'm going to ask Todd to thank the Lord for his blood that was shed on our behalf.
Father God, we praise you for your Son, whose body hung on a cross so that sins could be forgiven. What a miracle. Sinners like us, be saved. We praise you for your love, Lord. We pray that as we take this symbol of your body, this we do not forget your sacrifice. Praise you for your word, Lord. Pray that we make it a part, the part of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have an opportunity once a month to celebrate the Lord's table. Just a word of how we do it here. We wait until everybody receives the bread. It's open for everybody. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a Baptist. But you do have to be a member of the family of God. This will not save you. You understand that? It is just a memory that God has given to us to be grateful for His Son's death and resurrection from the cross. Do not take it unworthily. What does that mean? Well, if you're trusting in anything else besides Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, you are taking it unworthily. You are thinking that somehow this will gain brownie points with God. It won't, in regards to your salvation. If there's sin in your life, unconfessed sin, sin where you repeatedly do and you don't deal with, this is the time for you to confess that sin and say, make it right with God, make it right with other people. Okay?